Last time, please, as we honor God's word, and I'll read out beginning in verse 1, if you'd follow along there. Jeremiah 13, verse 1. Thus saith the Lord unto me, go and get thee a linen girdle, and put it upon thy loins, and put it not in water. So I got a girdle according to the word of the Lord, and put it on my loins. And the word of the Lord came unto me the second time, saying, take the girdle that thou hast got, which is upon thy loins, and arise. Go to Euphrates, that's a river, and hide it there in a hole of the rock. So I went and hid it by the Euphrates, as the Lord commanded me. And it came to pass after many days that the Lord said unto me, arise, go to Euphrates, and take the girdle from thence, which I commanded thee to hide there. Then I went to Euphrates, and digged, and took the girdle from the place where I had hid it. And behold, the girdle was marred. It was profitable for nothing. Then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, thus saith the Lord, after this manner will I mar the pride of Judah and the great pride of Jerusalem. This evil people, which refuse to hear my words, which walk in the imagination of their heart, and walk after other gods to serve them and to worship them, shall even be as this girdle, which is good for nothing. For as the girdle cleaveth to the loins of a man, so have I caused to cleave unto me the whole house of Israel and the whole house of Judah, saith the Lord, that they might be unto me for a people, and for a name, and for a praise, and for a glory. Notice though, but they would not hear. Let's pray. Lord, I pray for your help tonight. Lord, a lot on my heart and a lot of scripture I want to use, but please give me perfect clarity of thought, understanding. Lord, help me to be sensitive to your spirit. I pray that we would all hear from heaven. Yes. Please fill this place with liberty, your spirit, liberty, Father. Bind the devil, bind Satan. We plead your the blood of Jesus here tonight, Lord God. Please speak to our hearts. Help us, Father, to hear the message that you have for your people. Feed us, Lord God, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I mean, you may be seated. Now, I want you to notice how this is a God speaking and using Jeremiah, his prophet, to make a point. He takes the linen girdle and he says, now I want you to go bury it in by the river. And you know, what kind of dirt is there by the river? It's not really dirt at all. It's just mucky mud. It's that, right. That real yuck. You know, you ever walked in the river or walked in the lake and it's just barefoot and all of that slime comes up through your toes and it's terrible. But anyway, swimming pools are made for that reason. But so anyway, but listen, so he buries this linen girdle, and you know what linen is? It's that real fine, thin material. It's linen. It's not cotton. It's not polyester. It's linen. It's fragile, if you will. And so he buries that thing in this mud by the river, and the Bible says after many days he came back to get it, and obviously, I mean, it's irreparable. It's never going to be the same. It's in the mud. It's marred. In verse 7 says it's profitable for nothing. And then the Lord says to him, that's exactly what I wanted you to see. I after this manner will I mar the pride of Judah and the great pride of Jerusalem. That's the southern kingdoms there. The pride, because look what he says in verse 10. This evil people, which refuse to hear my words, which walk in the imagination of their heart, and walk after other gods. Notice, to serve them, and to worship them. He says, they're like this girdle, which is good for nothing.
Yep.
And then he talks about the girdle in verse 11, how he wanted them to cleave to him. It's just a picture, if you will. It's just a parable or a picture of how we should cling to God, and we should know that he is God, and we should never want to leave his side and be as close to him as possible. But he says, I wanted, in verse 11, I wanted Israel, I wanted Judah, I wanted them to be unto me for a people, for a name, for praise, for glory. And he said, they would not hear.
Yep.
Now, I'm going back to the message this morning. I know some of you weren't here in different ministries and things like that. But the point here that I'm trying to get you to see by way of introduction, we're going to be all over the Bible tonight, so I hope you have your Bible. Verse 10, he says, they were walking after other gods.
Yep.
They were, so basically, God said because of that, they were evil people and they were good for nothing. Look at verse 10. The end of that verse says, which is good for nothing.
Yep, that's right.
Amen. Now, he's talking about his own people, and he's using that linen girdle as a picture after it's been buried in the muck and the mire for many days by the river. And then you can just imagine what it looks like. Yeah. He said, I can't ever use that again. It's good for nothing. It's because they're evil people. They refuse to hear my words, and they walked after other gods. Now, we're going to take that as kind of a springboard tonight. We're going to use that. I want to talk to you, connecting this, dovetailing this message with a message this morning based on Psalm 46, verse 10, be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am God. I said this morning that the reason that we, what God is trying to say to us in Psalm 46, verse 10, is that I want you to know that I'm God.
Yeah.
I want you to know that I'm God. Yeah. In other words, he said, I don't want you to know everything about me. That's not really that important right now. The first step is to know that I'm God. To be still and know that God is God. And we're not going to learn everything about God necessarily. What we need to know is that He is God, period.
Yeah.
Period. Because when we know that He is God, we will walk after Him.
Yep.
And we will serve Him.
Yes.
And we will worship Him.
Yes.
But you see, what happened here, this evil people, that at one point they knew, listen now, don't miss this, at one point Israel knew, God is God, Jehovah is God, and we will worship and serve only Him.
Yeah.
Do you remember Joshua? Yeah. And when Joshua was nearing the end of his life, he said, listen, choose you this day who you're going to serve. Hold your place here, and Jeremiah. But let's go back over there and look at Joshua. Joshua chapter 24. Joshua chapter 24, verse 14. It says, now therefore fear the Lord and serve Him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods, notice the lowercase g, of course, which your, there's only one true living uppercase capital letter G God, which is, but he says, Joshua speaking to the people of Israel, put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and he says, and serve ye the Lord.
Yep.
Israel had a problem that Americans and all Christians still have today.
That's right.
Is choosing who you're going to serve.
Yeah,
choosing which God you're going to... There's only one living God. But you understand, he said in verse 15, if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve. Can I say something to you? Everybody's serving somebody.
Yeah, that's right.
Everybody's serving some form, some God, whether it be the living God in heaven or some God that you've chosen out of the wicked imaginations of your heart. But everybody is serving, walking after some God.
Yeah, that's right. Amen.
Are you listening to me? That makes sense? What was the very first commandment? I am the Lord thy God.
Yeah.
Thou shalt have no other gods before me. That's the first commandment. And right there, that's the only one we needed, really. Because everybody is torn between choosing, okay, which God am I going to serve? That's why some, but look over here in verse 20, the same chapter, Joshua 24, verse 21. And the people said unto Joshua, nay, we will serve the Lord. And Joshua said, well, your witness is against yourself. You've chosen, you have chosen you, the Lord, to serve Him. And they said, we're witnesses. Now, that was then.
Yeah.
Okay. And when we go back to Jeremiah 13, we see later.
Yeah.
Okay. We see later on in life, years later, obviously new generations have come. But what's happening is, notice, it's the same people. It's the same nation of Israel. It's the same God.
Yep.
But now God says they are good for nothing.
That's right. That's right. Amen.
They're like a marred, muddied girdle that is profitable for nothing.
Yeah.
And why? It's because they chose to walk after other gods. To serve and worship. Think about that, though. Worship other gods. It wasn't an accident, in other words. It was a willful choice. They had chosen to walk and serve other gods. Now, I want you to notice in Jeremiah 13, quickly, verse 10, this evil people which refuse to hear my words. We're going to talk about tonight, by the grace of God, for a little while. If God says, be still and know that I am God, and obviously He wants us to know that He is God.
Amen.
And obviously there's a lot of people who are serving any number of other gods, even God's people.
Uh-huh.
Serving any number of other gods, then we need to figure out, try to help God, ask God to help us understand. Okay, what does it mean to be still then?
Yeah.
Okay. Obviously, this morning I spent a long time on that, but to be still, number one, according to verse 13, chapter 13, there, verse 10, is to be still and hear the words of God.
Yeah. Amen.
That's what verse 10 says. This evil people refused to hear my words.
Amen.
They didn't not have their words. They weren't without opportunity to hear the words. They refused.
Yeah, that's right.
They chose to not hear the words of God. Understanding, if we're going to be still and know that God is God, it's going to start with His words.
Yeah.
It's going to start with this book, the Bible, the Word of God. It's going to start with you and me understanding that if we're going to know that God is God, He has already revealed Himself to us through His Word. And when I start chasing after other gods, and there's any number of them, you understand, I start chasing after other gods, it's because I've just stopped hearing His words.
Yeah, that's right.
And can I say something to you? You don't hear these words when your life is filled with noise.
Yeah, come on.
He says, be still.
Yep.
And begin to hear the words of God.
Yeah.
Be still. Be quiet.
Amen.
I almost said a bad word. I almost said the... Anyway. Be still. Shut your mouth,
yeah,
and listen to the words of God. Now, can I? You say, well, that's elementary. No, listen. Back up a minute. Don't get yourself puffed up, because that's exactly what the people of Israel did.
Right. Yeah.
Look what it says there. Let's jump down to verse 9. Yeah, thus saith the Lord: after this manner will I mar the what?
Pride.
They knew that those words were God's words. They knew that that was God's law. They knew that that was God's. Those were God's judgments, His statutes. They knew. I mean, they had Moses, and they had the prophets, and they had the temple and the tap. They had the priests. They knew that this was God's word, but they're full of pride, and they just refused to hear it anymore.
Yeah, that's right.
They refused to hear it anymore. You can't hear something when you're listening to something else.
Right. Yeah. Amen.
You're not going to hear the words of God when all you're doing is listen to everybody else's words.
Right.
Or your own words.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Listen, that's what the Bible's saying to us tonight. Be still, He says. You're going to have to be still and hear the words of God.
Yep.
Now, obviously, this is going to come through the Bible.
Yeah, that's right.
From the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
This is going to come on purpose. Go over to Psalm 1. Psalm 1. Be still and know that I am God. Psalm 46, verse 1. And it's going to come through the words of God. Our pride says, I don't need that anymore. Our pride says, I've heard that before. Our pride says, well, you know, I that doesn't really do any good.
Right.
Or I'm too busy.
Come on.
Oh, I'm to this or that, or I think I'd rather just do what I want to do. And see, all of that's one word is pride. But look in Psalm chapter 1, verse 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. That means he doesn't listen to their counsel. He doesn't hear their words.
That's right. Amen. Come on, preach.
Nor standeth in the way of sinners. He's not standing around waiting to hear what they say and listening to their words. He's not sitting in the seat of the scornful. He's not scorning God's word. But verse 2 says, but the blessed man, the happy man, the man who knows who God is. His delight is in the law, the words, the Bible, the book of God. And notice this next phrase. And that's not enough.
That's right.
Oh, I delight. I love the Bible. There it sits.
Come on,
preach.
I love the Bible. When's the last time you read it? I don't know. Have you read the whole thing?
Come on, preacher.
I haven't had time to read the whole thing. I understand. But are you even trying? But see, it's not enough to say, well, I love the Bible. No. He says, this man who's blessed, he doesn't just read it.
Right.
He's still, and he meditates on it. He stops and he's still and he meditates on it. See, we don't hear the words of God just because we hear the word of God.
That's right.
We have to be still and meditate on this law, on this book. That is what the Bible, it's not just love. I love the Bible, preach. Okay, well, how much time? Okay, this man is blessed because he meditates, quietly meditating, day and night. Look in verse 3. And he, not everybody, but he, this man, shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. He's going to be strong. He's going to be established. He's going to be firm. He's going to be fruitful. He's going to be faithful. Look, it says, bringing forth his fruit in his season. This man, the blessed man, not every Christian. Not every one of God's children. This man who does not hear the words of the counsel of the ungodly, he does not listen to the sinners in their way, he does not pay attention to them, he certainly does not scorn the word of God, but he delights in it, and the proof is that he meditates in it, quietly thinking about it day and night. That man is going to be faithful and fruitful, and the end of verse 3 says, whatsoever he doeth, that man shall prosper. That promise is not for every Christian.
Amen, preacher.
You better stop buying into that. That promise is not for everybody who's saved. No. God says, I will bless you if you will understand the value of being still and meditating on my word.
Amen.
That just doesn't happen by accident, though, does it?
Yeah, that's
right.
Right.
But God's saying, this is a blessed man. This is a man who has got the blessings of God on his life. And everything he touches prospers. Bus routes.
Amen.
Sunday school classes.
Come on.
Finances.
Amen. Come on.
Family, marriages, relationships, jobs. Everything he does, everything prospers in this man's life. Now, I'm not talking, forget about health, wealth, and prosperity, but yet this promise is straightforward, black and white. And it's because this man is quietly meditating on the word of God day and night. We say, preacher, that's ridiculous. I don't have the time for that. Okay, then you don't get the promise. And you're going down the road of being good for nothing. Where God says you can be good for everything. But you're going down this road of being good for nothing because you don't have time for God's word.
Help us. Preach.
I'm just telling you what the Bible says.
Amen.
Better yet, you don't make time.
Right.
That's the better way to put that. We all have 24 hours a day. Nobody has more time. Well, I work more than you do. I do. Well, then this promise is not for you.
Amen.
Again, what did Joshua say? Choose you this day.
That's right.
Choose you this day.
Amen, preacher.
You chose this day, right, to be in church, amen. You hear the words of God, but what are you going to choose tomorrow? Tomorrow's another day, right? Tomorrow's another day. So if I'm going to be still and know that God is God, it's going to come through meditating, delighting myself, and quietly thinking about what I've read, not just reading it and going on to my next schedule thing, but to be quiet and think about what God is trying to say to me through His Word. Words are there for one reason, to speak, to be heard, right? Words are somebody speaking so that we can hear the Word of God. That's what this discipleship stuff is all about. We're trying to get the Word of God in people's homes, in people's ears, in people's hearts. We're trying to get them to hear the Word of God. We're trying to get them to hear more of the Word of God. And not just that, but it's going to help you and me to be more familiar with and to be more, useful in using the Word of God, knowing more about it ourselves. This book is the center and the core and the foundation of everything when it comes to knowing that God is God.
Amen.
Meditating day and night, that man is blessed.
Yeah, that's right.
That man is blessed. I just recently, I'm serious, God is just burdening my heart for this church to get some property, to build, to just blossom and flourish. And these verses, He keeps laying on my heart. And you know what He's doing? He's saying, look, I'll prosper you and let you, bless you. And this is a promise, right? You will bring forth fruit. You'll be like a tree. Your leaf won't ever wither. And whatsoever you do, you go out there and look at property and look at building a building. I'll prosper you. I'll do it. And God's trying to push me, but listen, what does it not motivate you a little bit to say, God, there's things that I need you to prosper in my life. But it's not because of that. It's simply because I delight in your law, and I want to be still and meditate on it day and night.
Amen, preacher.
The Word of God. Listen, the Word of God is Jesus. It is God. It's His revelation to you and to me. Joshua said, choose you this day who you're going to serve. Now, I want you to think about something with me. Go over to Luke 24. We're still talking about the Word of God and being still and hearing and meditating on the Word of God. And look in Luke chapter 24. Let's look at this also. This is another example of what I'm talking about. Verse 13. Luke 24, verse 13. Now, Jesus had already been crucified, buried, and resurrected. And in verse 13, Luke 24, behold, two of the disciples, went the same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 70 furlongs, about 7 miles. They talked together. Get that. They talked together of all these things which had happened. It came to pass while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus Himself drew near, went with them. But their eyes were holding, they should not know Him. Now, what does that mean, that they didn't know who He was? Their eyes were holding, they did not know who He was. Let's just bear that in mind, and let's keep reading. And He said unto them, what manner of communications are these that ye have one to another as ye walk, and are what? Sad. They're sad. They're going away from Jerusalem. Look in verse 18. One of them, whose name was Cleopas, answering, said unto him, art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem? And hast not known the things which are come to pass there in these days? And he said unto them, what things? And they said, well, they said unto him, concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, was, past tense, mighty indeed and word before God and all the people. And how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. They're sad, they're discouraged. In verse 21, but we trusted he had been he which would have redeemed Israel. And beside all this, today's the third day since these things were done. Yea, certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulchre. And when they found not his body, they came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels, which said he was alive. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre, found it even so as the woman had said, but him they saw not. Now, what are they saying? They're saying, Jesus is dead, and somebody said he was alive, but nobody's seen him. They're sad, they're discouraged, they're talking amongst themselves. Now they're talking to Jesus, but their reasoning, their logic is reasoning everything out their way, and they're leaving God's will. They're going away from Jerusalem. Then he said unto them, verse 25, O fools, slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Where did the prophets speak that? Where is that recorded for us? In the Bible. Thank you. Okay, y'all still with me? Okay, I know I'm reading scripture, but I hope that doesn't bore you. Amen. Verse 26. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? This is what I'm getting at, verse 27. And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he, Jesus, expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Now, wait a minute. You know what happened right there? Is they stopped talking.
That's right.
And they started listening.
Yeah.
They stopped talking. They stopped whining. They stopped complaining. They stopped griping and belly aching. And they listened. They listened to Jesus.
Yeah.
What was Jesus speaking to them? He was telling them what the Bible said.
Yeah, that's right.
That's all he did. And by the way, he didn't tell them anything that's outside of the Bible.
Right.
He began at Moses and all the prophets. You say, wow. How long of a message was that? Well, it was long enough to get them to be quiet.
Amen.
And be still. And then when they got to Emmaus, you know the story, their eyes were open when they saw him. He disappeared, and they ran back that 7 miles in the middle of the night to tell everybody he was alive. What happened is they realized now God is God. Yeah. This is really God. What changed? Listen, they were completely discouraged and going away from God. Tired and sad and discouraged. What happened is they stopped talking.
Amen. Yeah, that's right.
Stop making excuses for everything. Stop whining about what God had done. I mean, they were whining about the gospel.
Yeah, that's right.
They were complaining about the death, the burial, and the resurrection. They were bellyaching about the power of God unto salvation.
Yeah.
They were whining about the only hope they had for heaven.
Amen.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what we do.
Yes, sir. Help us.
When we gripe about God.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Come on.
And why could God do this? And how could God? Listen, God is the only hope we had.
Right.
Still, if God was not alive, we would never go to heaven. If God was not God, we would be completely hopeless. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 2 that those that are without Christ, they are without hope. They are without God in this world.
Yeah, that's right.
These two men were walking away from it all, bellyaching about the very power of gospel, the gospel, and one thing and one thing only changed them. They had to shut their mouth.
That's right. Yeah.
And be still and listen.
Amen.
To the words of God.
Yep.
Amen.
Now, I want you to notice in verse 32, and they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us? When? While he talked with us by the way, while he opened to us the scriptures.
Amen.
Their heart was not on fire for God as they were leaving Jerusalem.
Yeah, that's right.
Their heart was not on fire for God as they were walking out of God's will. Their heart was not on fire for God as they were getting away from the very center and the hub of the gospel. Their heart was not on fire as long as they were bellyaching and whining and complaining and discouraged.
Yeah, come on.
Their heart was doing anything but getting on fire. It was cold. It was getting harder and harder, and they were going away. But the word of God, after they shut their mouth, and listen to the word of God, began to revive them, stir them, revive them, put a fire in their heart. And they ran back. It was one thing, church. It wasn't a big mystery of a whole bunch of different formulas. No, it was one thing. It was shut your mouth, be still, and hear the words of God.
Amen. Yeah, amen. Amen.
That's it.
Yeah,
that's it.
Amen.
You see, the words of God. You're in Luke already. Look at Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10. Verse 38. It came to pass, as they went, that he entered into a certain village. Luke 10:38. A certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet. And what? Now Martha, verse 40, was cumbered about much serving. I mean, she was just busy. I mean, after all, they were going to have a feast there. They were going to have guests over, and she was busy serving. Oh, but man, and you say, well, man, that's a good Christian, serving the Lord. It is a good Christian. We need to serve the Lord. But understand something. God doesn't, let's read on here. You know the story. Martha says, came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister had left me to serve alone? Bitter, therefore, she helped me. And Jesus answered and said, Martha, Martha. Can you see him shaking his head? Martha, Martha. Now, how many times has the Lord had to shake his head and call your name?
Yeah, amen, preacher.
Glenn, Glenn. Samuel, Samuel. Brittany, Brittany. Seth, Seth. Thou art careful, troubled about many things, just like those two disciples.
Yeah, that's right.
But one thing, verse 42, is needful. It's not a whole long list. Aren't you glad?
Amen.
One thing is needful. Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. What was she doing? Just hearing his word.
Amen.
Preacher, I want to serve. You need to serve. We all serve. We're supposed to be. We're saved to serve. Absolutely. But that's one needful thing that comes first.
Yes.
And that's being still.
Yeah.
And hearing those words. Being still. You've got to grasp. It's not difficult. It's not deep. But it is life changing.
Yeah.
We've got to be still and hear these words. We've got to be still and hear these words. Look over in Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter 20 tonight. Quickly. I'll get you laughing here in a minute. Amen. Everybody's getting serious now. That's okay. Acts chapter 20, verse 7. And upon the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, amen, first day of the week, not the Sabbath, Sunday, the first day of the week, they came together to break bread. Paul preached unto them. Amen. They were having church. They were having food and church, but they were having a good time.
Amen.
Ready to depart on the morrow, and continued his speech, his preaching, until what?
Amen.
I don't know how many of you would still be here. It was a watch night service. That's what it was. In verse 8. And there were many lights in the upper chamber where they were gathered together. And there sat in a window a certain young man named Eutychus, being fallen into a deep sleep. Now that's about as still as you can get. As Paul was long preaching, he, Eutychus, sunk down with sleep, and he fell down from the third loft. Now, there was three stories there. He fell down. Somebody said one time, because he was leaning the wrong way, amen. He was leaning towards the window instead of, anyway. But he fell out the window, down to the ground, fell off the third loft. Paul went down, fell on him in verse 10, embracing him, said, trouble not yourselves, his life is in him. When he therefore was come up again and broken bread and eaten and talked a long while. Don't complain about me anymore. Amen. We talked a long while, even till break of day. So midnight to the break of day. He's still going another 6 hours at least. Wow. They're having revival. Amen. And they brought the young man alive and were not a little comforted. Look in verse 13. And we went before the ship and sailed to Assos. Therefore, they're intending to take in Paul. For so he had appointed, minding himself to go afoot. And when he met with us at Assos, we took him in and came to Mytilene. Now, here's what I'm trying to get you to see. They were in Troas. That's where Eutychus fell out the window and fell down. And anyway, a long church service. But Paul, the very next day, without sleeping, walks. He says, you guys get in the ship, we're going to walk. And that was a 30-mile walk from Troas to Assos. 30 miles. It had to, we don't know for sure, but we guess it at least took him 2 days. Now, look what the Bible says there in verse 13. He was minded himself to go over. He didn't have to. He had been preaching all night, literally. He had revived the dead boy who fell out of the window asleep. Don't fall asleep in church. You never know what might happen. But don't worry. If you're saved, you'll be revived. But here's the thing. Then he says, now I'm going to walk for 30 miles. I'm going to go. I'll meet you when you get there, guys. What was he doing? He was meditating.
Yeah.
He was walking with God.
Yeah, that's right.
I mean, he had been in church all night. Well, that's enough, don't you think? Wasn't enough for him. Mm-hmm. He was meditating on the things that he himself was preaching, but it was still the Word of God.
Yeah,
right.
And he did it on purpose. He wanted to be alone with God in his heart and meditate on the words that he himself had preached. You say, well, that's kind of weird. I don't think it's weird at all. I'm a preacher, and I don't preach that long, but I promise you, when you preach something, it's because it's already in your heart.
Yes,
and
yes,
then it doesn't just stop after we say amen. It might for you, but it sure doesn't for me. It shouldn't for us. It should go on for days.
Amen.
We should continue to chew on the things that we have heard from the Word of God.
Amen. Preach.
Including me, I do, I promise you. And we should continue to think about it, meditate, ponder, go back and read it again. But he wanted to be alone to do this. Are you listening? He didn't want to be with those men. Not that they were bad men, but he wanted to be quiet.
Right. Yeah.
He wanted to be still.
Uh-huh.
And meditate on the words of God. Mm-hmm. I don't know about you, but I'm telling you one thing. That's what's lacking. I just believe with all my heart that's what's lacking. It's just meditating, desiring to be alone with God and His Word and think about what God is saying to us. Think about what God has done. I mean, he had last night to think about. He had last night to think about Eutychus and all of that drama and the fellowship with the brethren. But the Word of God, spending time with God, he just wanted to be still. Walk alone and be with God. It has to be something that we choose. It has to be something that we choose. I want you to see in Psalm 91. Psalm 91 tonight. I'm just showing you scripture that the Lord laid on my heart to help us see what we need to do to be still. Psalm 91. After you hear the Word of God, after you read the Word of God and you've heard it either in church or on your own in your own time, don't miss what I just read though. Paul was in church that very night, but the next day he still spent time alone meditating and thinking about what he'd heard. So it's not just something, you know, set aside for Sundays and Wednesdays, right? It's something that has to be a daily thing. We have to hear and meditate and think and be and just let the Word of God consume us. In Psalm 91 verse 1 though, after you've heard the Word of God, and this is what Paul did as he walked those 30 miles, Psalm 91 verse 1 says, "He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty." Now that I've heard the Word of God, now I'm going to go to God in prayerful meditation.
Yeah.
I'm going to go to that secret place in prayer.
Amen.
I do not have any doubt in my mind that as Paul was walking those 30 miles, he was dwelling in that secret place, talking to God about what God had talked to him about.
Amen.
In that church night, that church service that night before. "He that dwelleth in that secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow." That's closeness, you understand? That's very close to God. But notice in verse 2, this man, this person that does abide there, "I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge."
Amen.
"And my fortress."
Yep.
"My God."
Amen.
"In Him will I trust."
Yes. Amen.
Not everybody says that, dearly beloved.
Yeah, that's right.
But they that hear the words of God, meditate on those words, and then go dwell in that secret place with the God of the Word, will come to verse number 2 in their life.
Yeah, that's right.
As as I said this morning in Psalm 46, God is our refuge and our strength, a very present help in trouble. That's what Psalm 46, 1 says. But the problem is we don't really know that.
Yeah, that's right.
Because we don't spend time, quiet time, hearing the words of God, then spending time with the God of the Word in prayer in that secret place. And then we come to verse number 2. Verse number 2, are you understanding, is a result of verse number 1.
That's right.
Dwelling in that secret place of the Most High. Abiding and then finally coming to a place where I say this, He is my God.
Yeah.
He is my God. In other words, no more other gods. No more others serving other gods. No more. Preacher, this is so elementary. You better stop and listen. Yeah. It was elementary to the children of Israel too.
Yeah, that's right, preacher.
Don't forget where I started tonight.
Come on.
Their pride thought it was just too elementary. It was too simple. I've heard all this 100 times. My dad, my generation, my grandfather. They were God's chosen people. They knew what God had done, but they just started to, they refused to hear the words anymore.
Yeah, right. That's right. Amen, preacher.
You live in a free country. You live in a free country where you can get this Bible open and read it pretty much anywhere.
Amen.
By the way, kids, don't let them tell you can't take it to school.
Right.
You can take it to school and you can read it all day long. In public. That's a lie from hell that you can't read your Bible in school. Take your Bible to school. God, listen, this world needs to see God's people with this book.
That's right. Come on.
You live in a free country that for now we have freedom to read this Bible, to spend time in this Bible, to meditate on this Bible, to walk with God and then spend time praying and thinking, talking to God about this Bible. But it's all built around in this precious book. But when you say, I just don't or I won't, you're refusing. It's not that you can't. You're just refusing.
That's right.
Yeah, that's right.
God says, be still.
Amen.
And know that I'm God.
Amen.
I've talked to some of you about this in other times in the past. When I was growing up, there was no such thing as attention deficit hyperactivity disorder.
Come on, brother.
Amen.
Come on.
Amen.
That's right.
And you can't tell me that just all of a sudden happened.
That's right. Come on.
Amen, preacher.
You know what it is? It's Satan.
That's right. Yeah, that's right, preacher.
Telling you just can't sit still.
Yeah, come on. Yeah, that's right. Amen, preacher.
Come on.
It's you not... Listen, don't tell me that your ADD is stronger than God.
Amen. All right, come on. Come on.
You're just not listening to the words of God.
Yeah.
Right on,
hey,
just get started. Come on. Lay it on.
Amen, brother. Thank you. But listen, I'm not being... I know kids have problems, but the problem is not whatever the doctors are saying. The problem is we're not still and we're not hearing the words of God. Because the Bible says something different than what the doctors say. Now, I know that there's problems. Just, please, I love you. Don't get upset at me and start throwing stones. But that is not true. Because all you say, well, I just can't sit still long enough to read the Bible. That's you telling me that this book is not strong enough. Oh, that God is not powerful enough.
Amen. Amen. Help us. Preach. Amen. Preach. Amen. Preach.
And now you've listened to that doctor tell you that.
Yep.
You've listened to that doctor in all your life. That's all you've heard.
That's right.
Yeah, come on.
And so when you hear something like this, you say, well, I just can't.
Yeah.
I've got this disorder.
Right.
There's no medical basis for that.
That's right.
That's right. Amen.
All they do is they take your symptoms and they say, well, you must be too hyper.
Yeah.
Right.
Well.
They take your symptoms and they say, well, you just, you're right, you just can't listen. And so let's just dope you up.
Yeah, come on, Richard. Help us.
Come on.
This is the dope you need right here.
Amen.
Yes. Amen.
This is the dope you need.
That's right.
And so now, you know, now we've got all kinds of people say, well, I just can't.
Uh-huh.
That's right.
I can't sit still long enough.
Uh-huh.
I can't pay attention long enough. Okay, maybe you struggle with that, but it's not because God can't.
Right. Yeah.
Right.
And it's not because you can't. If you're saved, say amen.
Amen.
So you telling me you're saved, the Spirit of God lives in your heart, but amen. You can't do what God says.
Amen.
Yeah. Come on.
So God said, be still and know that I am God, unless you've got ADD.
Right. Huh. Come on, preacher. Preach. Well,
throw that garbage away.
Amen, brother.
Stop listening to that doctor.
Amen. Yes, amen, preacher. Preach.
Amen, that's right.
And listen to God.
Amen.
There was no such thing when I was growing. You know why? Because there's no such thing.
That's right.
That's right. Amen.
That's right.
Amen.
Absolutely.
Well, this is another complete different direction, but that's okay.
Amen. Come on,
amen.
In the Bible, which is all you're going to hear from me.
Amen.
In the Bible, there's a word in the book of Revelation that is sorcery.
Yep.
Sorcery. Witchcraft.
Yep.
Sorcery. A witch's brew. Now, that word, I don't study Greek and all that, but that word is pharmakos, which is the same word we use for pharmacy.
Yep, that's right.
A pharmacy is a room full of witches' brew.
Yeah, that's right.
Chemical labs, mixing chemicals together, coming up with this medication.
Come on, great.
And you know what it does? Is it makes your mind loopy.
Yes, sir. Yeah, that's right. Amen.
Why? Because you're easy to deceive when you're filled with that sorcery.
Right. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Come on.
Preach.
That's what the devil's going to do in the end times.
Right.
Sit up, bud. Sit up and listen. Now, here's the thing. That not from God.
Yeah, that's right.
And God has warned us that that is going to happen. Right. And that's how Satan is going to work and take over and be able to control people.
Yep.
Through their minds being so filled with this mind. No, I'm not saying you can't take a Tylenol or whatever for a headache. I'm talking about these mind-altering, mood-altering, total life-changing drugs and that they're putting five-year-olds on.
Yeah. Come on. Yeah. Hey.
Come on.
Well,
are you mean to tell me that God's not able?
Yeah. Come on.
The problem is those kids are not here. The words of God.
Amen. That's good. Amen.
Yeah.
That's the problem.
Yeah, man. Preach.
I remember one time years ago when after we had got to Denton, and I think I'm probably done now that I got all you mad at me.
Preach.
Come on.
Whoa, talk about mad. I'd have you slipping out on me. That. I remember one time years ago, I'll tell you a story and I'll close. I got a phone call from a man that I'd met soul winning, and he said, Pastor Fall, my sister, right? I was out with my wife on a Friday night. And some of you have tried to call me on Friday nights, and I love you, but if it's an emergency, just leave me a big, long, urgent emergency message, and I might get back to you. Because I'm spending time with my wife. But anyway, he called me, and he left a message, and I called him back later. It was like 9 or 10 o'clock at night, and so he said, my sister is crazy. She's losing her mind. She's over here at my house, and she's saying all kinds of, she's screaming. It's like the devil's, she's full of the devil, Pastor. And I said, okay, well, I'll be right over. I can't wait. So I'm thinking, oh, Lord God in heaven, you did this for a reason. He called me. And I'm thinking, what do I do? And of course, you know, really, there's no greater power in this world than this book.
Amen. That's right, brother. That's right.
I took my Bible over there, and I went in there, and I set a chair down beside her bed, not alone, but there was other people around. And I just opened this Bible anywhere, and I started reading it.
Amen. Amen.
Out loud.
Praise the Lord.
I was blessed. I started reading out loud as I could possibly read it.
Amen.
Louder than I preach. Is that possible? I started reading the Bible out loud. She was screaming and she was man, she was on, and I almost had to restrain her, and I just kept reading the Bible out loud. And then I'd start singing Amazing Grace or the Old Rugged Cross, but then I'd go right back to reading the Bible out loud. And I don't remember, it was midnight, it was one of those Paul services, amen. It was late.
Amen.
And this woman, she was getting, but it just gradually, she just began to scream a little bit less. Her screams weren't quite as loud. She wasn't quite as crazy anymore. And I just kept reading the Bible out loud, talking to her whenever she was alert. It was like she would come in and out of consciousness almost. I mean, it was evil. And I just read the Bible to her. That's all I did. I just read the Bible to
Amen.
Her. Just kept reading the Bible. There's plenty in here to read. I just kept reading the Bible.
Yep.
And she got calmer and calmer. And calm. And there was a point where she finally just kind of went,
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
And she went to sleep.
Amen.
Now, I'm thinking, oh, God, thank you. Because I'm in a strange home with a bunch of strange people. Now, I knew the man that I'd met on soul winning, but I'm thinking, Lord, God in heaven, I've got the devil laying right beside me.
Yeah, yeah, amen.
And it turned out that she was on all kinds of medication, and she was going to some kind of strange, weird, well, sorry, charismatic church.
Yeah, come on.
And literally, she was full of all kinds of evil spirits.
Yeah, amen.
I didn't do anything. What I did is I opened up and made her hear the words of
amen.
God.
Amen. Yeah. Right. Yeah, yeah, amen. Come on.
So, preacher, what happened after that? I'm just trying to tell you. Well, they ended up coming to church when we were still over there in that storefront, and they never. I mean, they were eternally grateful, but yet not grateful enough to get out of that evil church.
Come on.
What do you mean by that? I mean, that's how powerful it is.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
But see, when people's minds get full of that sorcery.
Yeah, come on.
That evil, unclean spirit.
Yeah, it may have preach.
It's the word of God.
Yeah.
Yep.
That's going to change it.
Amen. It may have preach. Yep.
I remember. Okay, another story. I promise you, I'm almost done. But it's not even midnight yet.
Amen.
Years ago, when we first came to Denton. There was a young lady who came to our church in our house and got saved, and she had a little bitty baby. Her name was Leah was the baby. Cynthia was the mother. Thank you. Little Leah. She was probably 5 months old. Okay. I was going to say six. I wasn't four. 5 months old. Just a little bitty baby. But her mom had had a rough life. Her mom was probably 19, 17. Okay, rough life, just full of sin. And this little baby was so traumatized. This little baby would do nothing but scream. Mm-hmm. Just scream.
Amen.
Nonstop scream. Mm-hmm. And he's like, what in the world? 5 months, you can't she can't say what's wrong. What's wrong with you? Screaming, screaming, nonstop.
Amen.
Well, her mom, of course, was, even though she got saved and she got baptized, she wouldn't walk after God.
Right.
She wouldn't be still and know that this is God. She just kept kind of going and living her life. She ended up leaving the baby at home one night, going out drinking with her friends. Leaving the baby at home. And, of course, while she was out, she got in a wreck. She got arrested and got put in jail. Well, Leah's at home by herself. And of course, the neighbors, early on the next morning, heard Leah screaming. You could hear for a mile. Screaming. Well, they went over there and they found the baby. And I'm the pastor again. And praise God. I want to be. That's what I'm here for. But they said, long story short, they said, well, Pastor, Cynthia's not going to be able to keep this baby right now. She's in jail, and we've got things. And CPS had said, can you and your family watch this baby for a while? And, I was the one by myself there, and my. What's that?
We were out of town.
Okay, I don't remember. I was by myself, and I said, well, sure. Sure. We took little Leah home. And, yes, she just kept screaming. And just kept screaming. And it really, you know, we finally realized, obviously, we understood what I'm trying to preach to you tonight, that this Word of God has power. And this is the Word of God that will make you be still and know that God is God. And she would just scream bloody murder, and we just started playing the Bible in her room. By her crib, just like a, you know, CDs with Bible, just reading the Bible to her. And sure enough, that little baby just began to scream less, each night a little bit less, each night a little bit less. And that it was the power of the Word of God. Now they came back and took her, and she's gone now. I think she's living in Wichita Falls or something. Probably still screaming.
Yeah, come on.
But you know what I mean, in sin. But the Word of God changed that little baby's spirit altogether.
Amen. That's right. Amen, preacher.
You would have thought she was possessed with 14 devils, and I think she was.
Yeah, amen.
And so was Adam's sister that night in her bedroom. And it just, listen, and so are there so many of these children who the doctor's diagnosing and giving them all these pills. This is what they need.
Yeah, come on.
But listen, but so do we adults.
Yeah, that's right. Amen, preacher.
Because we don't walk around screaming out of control like little babies, but yet we still walk out of God's will. Yeah. Complaining about everything that God's doing, like those two on the road to Emmaus, and we still need this book.
Amen.
That's right. Amen.
We need to be still and let God show us that He is God.
Amen.
I know you thought maybe I was going to give you some big, huge, wonderful secret formula to being still. No. It's still right here.
Yeah.
Amen.
It's still right here.
Amen.
Be still. Hear the words of God. And know that God is God.
Amen.
Be still. It's hard, isn't it? You're not used to it, are you? But let's bow our heads and pray. Father, Lord, I love you and I thank you. I pray that this helps somebody tonight, Lord. I want your Holy Spirit to do the work in all of our lives. We need your Holy Spirit, Lord God, to keep us still.